Welcome to Fronteras, a program that explores issues at the border and beyond through the lens of arts, culture, and history. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. Seeing yourself in a work of art or in the written word for the first time can be a magical, revelatory moment. You realize you're not the only one who looks that way, who acts that way, who speaks that way, or who loves that way. San Antonio-based writer, artist, and activist Anel Flores is very purposeful in the works that they write because they know they'll reach someone who needs that connection. Flores's latest book is Curtains of Rain, a bilingual novel about Solitaria, a queer Chicana from the Texas border who leaves her hometown to find her chosen family in the big city of San Antonio. Flores has a similar background to Solitaria, a background that plays into their writing.
I'm from San Antonio and from the Rio Grande Valley, all the spaces in between, I like to say, and all the universes, right, that it expands to. I write from the spaces of South Texas, from the land, from the indigenous, from the people, from my lineage, from our colors and stories. I'm a visual artist also, and I really write portraits and images of communities that have since been either criminalized or marginalized or disappeared, and I bring them to the light. So that's what I do in my work.
Well, bringing to light these communities is something I think that is really important right now, because many of these communities are being erased from society, essentially, from the conversation. But that doesn't stop you from writing about the queer community, and your latest book, Curtains of Rain, is an excellent example of this queer borderlands literature we're going to be talking about today. And so tell us a little bit about this book and what inspired it, and if you knew what you wanted going into it, or if it maybe transformed as you were writing it. How does that process work for you?
Wow. Well, I mean, there were, yes, many, many, many different processes in writing. The amazing maestra, one of my amazing maestras, Andrea Cisneros, says, if you haven't drafted something 10 times, you just haven't finished, you know? And so for me, starting off this book, there were two main things that I wanted to make sure I was able to cover. And that one thing was, one major historical event was the lawsuit against Hayes Salmon's factory, which is now modern day Monsanto, or the pesticides that we know that is, you know, have been really, really ailing and making so many folks sick and really changing our food and our landscape. Hayes Salmon's was in Mission, Texas in the early 70s, 80s, 90s, and they emitted 8 of the most deadliest chemicals out into Mission, Texas. And I know that historical moment because my mother and all my tías and all my family, relatives and even friends that were in Mission, their families and their generations forward have been affected by that pollution and that environmental racism. So one thing I wanted to do, you know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, when I was thinking about this next book, was I needed that moment to be documented in fiction. And for me, I believe that our fictions are oftentimes places where we can tell our truths. Our truths become a little more accessible, more easier to get into. I might not want to read about like the tragedy of what happened to the hundreds and thousands of people in Mission from Hayes Salmon's and what happened to our bodies and our reproductive systems and my mother, my tías. But I can write a story about communities that have been facing difficult times and how they've come together to work those difficult times, to make those difficult times something beautiful. And in Curtains of Rain, the next thing for me was those difficult times of queer families. So difficult times of families that are dealing with environmental racism, like in Mission, and then the difficult times of queer families. It's all interconnected. Discrimination happens for so many reasons. One, poverty, environment, what's happening in South Texas. Another piece of discrimination is happening in the LGBTQIA community. For me, at 17 and 18, when my cultural, my blood family, right? My bio family, what we call, that I love and adore from South Texas, when they were not able to hold me as a queer person at that moment, it was queer family that was able to hold me, to gather me, to bring me home in a different type of home. So Curtains of Rain was bringing those worlds together, being able to reconcile that our cultural traditions of family and togetherness and fighting for one another are also found in our LGBT community. And they have now since blended, and now we are all close. So Curtains of Rain is that beautiful moment where my family, for example, or those families that kick out their kids or don't want their LGBT family members near them, if that does happen, sometimes they heal. Sometimes that does happen, that there is healing. And sometimes that healing takes 2 years, 30 years, or a lifetime. And nothing is stagnant, nothing is concrete, but in Curtains of Rain, everybody's making it work somehow. And for me, this novel was about creating a space that I dream of, and I know young folks dream of. And it's taken on a million different roles, but I think those two main goals for me did come through after, like I said, those 10 or 15 drafts that I had to write first.
Well, yeah. You brought up your mom and your tías. I'm wondering how they were affected by that environmental racism. Are they okay?
I mean, they are with us, thank you, to the universe and the goddess and everything else and healthcare systems and family. But no, I mean, at the end of the day, I have had a full hysterectomy. I'm not even 50. I had that 10 years ago. I can say that 50% of the women in my family have been affected at least by their reproductive organs, having to have hysterectomies, full hysterectomies, you know, different folks around me and family members that have been affected by panic attacks. I mean, there's so many different things, but they are healthy. My tías are healthy. They're alive. They're here to tell these stories. And I will mention on that note, I mean, but what they received, what all these thousands and thousands of people received after that Hayes-Sammons lawsuit, and I saw the check in my mother's mailbox come out of her mailbox, was $875 as a settlement check for the attack on our bodies, the attack on women's bodies, children's bodies, communities' bodies. When I started this book, I first went down to the valley. I went down to the library at UTRGV. I looked through all the microfiche. I looked at phone books. I read newspapers. I looked at what were they talking about. They weren't covering the pollution. They were really, we had to really dig deep into the case. So I opened up the case. I read letters that people were writing from Mission and surrounding cities, read what was happening to these children, their skin, their bodies, without sight, without limbs, skin, you know, so many things. But yes, the family is good. Mission in the valley, I mean, we know what we see on the news right now, what's happening down there. So that's another news story, I think.
Well, give us a recap of Curtains of Rain. Sort of give us an overview of what the book is about and the main characters.
Awesome. Well, the main character is Solitaria Gaviota Alaniz, who we know as Sol. And Sol grows up in South Texas, in the valley, in the flea market culture and the working culture of all of our gente, trailblazers of community on the border. And she then is kind of like a forced exile, which happens to a lot of queer folks when our homes just kind of stop talking to us, our family members just stop talking to us. We go someplace else. A lot of times we come from the valley. A lot of folks come to San Antonio. And I mean, so many of us. And so Solitaria leaves the valley. She comes to San Antonio. She is here met with her chosen familia of queer tíos, trans folks, drag queens, community in San Antonio that brings her, lifts her up. And then towards the middle of the book, Solitaria returns home to meet back up with her mother and other family members. And so the story really just unwinds around her return home. And you get to learn about what people are thinking about Solitaria, how they feel about her and her community, the LGBT community. And I don't want to give too much away, but it's fun, it's beautiful, it's sexy. There's love, there's relationships, there's a little bit of arguing, there's a little bit of trauma, drama, all the things. But definitely celebration and transformation. And it's a love letter to the valley in South Texas and to our culture and community that I think is still alive and thriving.
Anel Flores is the author of Curtains of Rain. Flores is also the author of Empanada, a lesbiana story in Probaditas. When we come back, Anel Flores says the blowback by conservative lawmakers and parents against queer literature has not silenced their voice.
I wrote this book for those people, those professors, those students. The characters in this book are all of those badass readers, writers, professors, activists fighting for our voices to be used in their classroom, fighting for our voices to be used in their spaces.
Our conversation continues next on Fronteras.
When major decisions affect South Central Texas, you turn to TPR for clarity and depth. Investigative and accountability reporting require time, independence, and consistent community support. That is why our spring fundraising drive starts March 11th and why growing our sustaining membership matters. Monthly donors provide the foundation that keeps this work strong year-round. If you value in-depth local news and civic coverage, become a sustaining member today at tpr.org.
Welcome back to Fronteras. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. Texas led the nation in book bans in the 2024-25 school year. The group PEN America found that queer literature was a prime target of book challenges and removal. A 2023 state law mandates that school libraries in Texas review their books for sexually explicit content. Many of the books that have been challenged and removed are those written by authors of color and with LGBTQ topics. The works of writer, artist, and activist Anel Flores are about uplifting the queer community. Their latest book, Curtains of Rain, weaves a tale of Chicano culture, queerness, acceptance, and triumph over trauma. Flores says the recent attacks on queer literature have left them with a feeling of uncertainty and even fear in describing their work or even in describing themselves.
At the beginning, I do a lot of academic visits. I do a lot of school visits, classroom visits, all grades, everywhere. And it's interesting because last year when we started to get that crackdown of like the language we were using, I started to think, oh my God, do I change my bio? Do I change this? And it was this weird, frightening moment of being 18 again when I started to write. And, you know, I met Naomi Nye, for example. And she, by the way, never was the person to tell me to censor myself. But there were other authors after that did say, you know, why do you want to put lesbian in your bio? Why do you want to put gay in your bio? Why do you put Latina? Why don't you just put your name? I'm like, because I want the readers to know what they're coming. I want, most importantly, I care about the LGBT readers. I care that those words are in my bio. Those words are on the book. And so back to that question, I really was starting to think I needed to censor myself again 30 years later. And it was a whole thing where I started calling professors, calling teachers. I'm like, do I need to change this? Do I need to change my language? Can I still come to your classroom? Especially in Texas, I called folks at UT that I was going to go visit. And, you know, those folks, the professors and the high school teacher said, you know, we can't say those things, but we're inviting you to our classroom. They didn't really say too much more. So again, this book, Curtains of Rain, it comes back to this question because I wrote this book for those people, those professors, those students. The characters in this book are all of those badass readers, writers, professors, activists fighting for our voices to be used in their classroom, fighting for our voices to be used in their spaces because they want us there. And it's the teachers that are going to make the difference. I know it. I mean, I was a teacher for 14 years and I used to put, I don't teach anymore, so they can't do anything about it now, but I used to put paper on the window of my high school door because we would read House on Mungo Street and we weren't supposed to. We were supposed to be doing testing packets and this and that and extra this and that. And I want to read House on Mungo Street. My kids want to read House on Mungo Street. They're from this town. So what's changed really is I've had to go through this whole process of fear again. I'm having to battle that every day. Every day, what do I say? Do I say I'm queer? Do I say I'm trans? This most recent attack on saying that trans folks are now put as part of the profiling for ICE. And, you know, they're now profiling trans folks. And so we know what that means, right? We know that that might mean they're looking at trans folks who have been through the system of citizenship or coming in. But once they start putting our names on lists, which we already know, they're just going to keep adding those names to different lists. And yeah, I mean, I'm scared. That's what's changed, fear and a lot more questioning. And even yesterday, I sat with some folks at a fundraiser for the San Antonio AIDS Foundation, and we were just chatting about that fear, like, what does that look like? And they were saying, well, isn't it so that we can still have DEI? And I'm like, well, yeah, I mean, yes, there were cases that went to fight, you know, all those things, but those programs have already been broken down. That's how we got caught, is that the fear kind of gave way for all these universities and all these classrooms and all these organizations and all these community spaces to start. They just started dismantling the LGBT programs. They started taking out the programs geared towards women and women health and trans folks and trans kids and all these communities, migrant communities, undocumented folks, the Dreamers. They started just dismantling all of those programs last year when, you know, the fear started just being blasted out all over the place. And now they're now taking those funds. Now funds are gone. Departments are broken down. I mean, now we have to reshape everything again. And that speaks to that fear of just the individual person. If the fear is breaking down already, these departments that took 20, 30, 60 years to build, I mean, 60, 70 years we've been building since the civil rights movement, everything just broken down in a matter of months, in a matter of a year. So yeah, I mean, there's so many things being lost. I'd like to say, and I am the optimist. I was sitting with someone who was the opposite of me just the other day, too. And they were like, oh, my God, you're such an optimist. And we were just laughing. And they were laughing in my face. And I'm like, I'm trying so hard. It's really hard. I mean, honestly, just coming to this show is hard, right? Reminding myself who I am. Like, I have to do this. I want to do this. I have to remember the voices from that I hear where people say, you know, like, I didn't kill myself because I had Empanada, my first book, under my mattress, right? I mean, I literally have heard those words from people, from young people, from older people. My first book, I had a father come and said, I want to buy this book for my daughter because their mom doesn't talk to them because they're gay. I mean, those moments, like, I am scared. And yes, I want to dismantle so many things right now to protect the people around me. And no, I will not do that. I will try to keep building and go to those departments and say, hey, I know the department's not here anymore, but let me come to your classroom, and just continue to have faith in the professors and these friends of mine that have been doing this work for so long at UT, all over, at Davis and Florida and New York. There are professors and teachers and educators and community spaces that are working really hard. So it takes me back to my positive space of like, yeah, we're going to do it. The young people are going to do it. The activists are going to do it.
The good thing is that the young LGBTQIA community right now, especially those who see what's happening right now and they are afraid to come out, they have people like you to be able to see. And there's this literature there. There's these people who are fighting for me. Was there anybody fighting for you when you were young? Did you have anybody like yourself that you looked up to back then?
You know, when I was 17, I had a creative writing teacher at Incarnate Word High School that just read my journal but never like told my parents that I was gay, you know, which was really beautiful. And I was at a Catholic school. I would tell her all my, you know, gay fears, and she would just write me comments like, it's okay, let me know if you need anything. I mean, just all this great stuff. So that one teacher, Carol Mingdet. And then Carol Mingdet, I remember, invited Naomi Nye, who I mentioned a minute ago, to our classroom. So when Carol Mingdet passed away, actually, that following year, after I graduated from high school, Naomi was having a reading at the old Mad Hatter's Tea, which doesn't exist, on Avenue B, and I went to see her. And I was like, hi, Naomi, I'm Anel. I'm 17. My teacher told me I was a writer. I don't know what to do. And Naomi was like, here's my number. Here, we'll have some cookies. I mean, just like that. I can't even believe it. 30 years later, I'm going, what in the world were you thinking asking her that question? That's crazy. Like, do you even know who you were talking to? I mean, fast forward now, I'm like, holy cow, you were brave, but I had no clue. So, but yeah, Naomi then introduced me to the community, you know, took me to the San Antonio Public Library, sent me book titles or told me to read this and read that. And then eventually, down the line somewhere there, I met Sandra Cisneros. She was introduced to me more by the Esperanza and the Guadalupe Cultural Arts Center. But then Sandra, right away, by 22 or 21, had introduced me to Carla Trujillo, all the way in the Bay Area, who wrote What Night Brings, who's a lesbian author, amazing writer. And she also wrote Chicana Lesbians, or edited that anthology. So those folks, Sharon Bridgeforth, who I met through the Esperanza, Graciela Sanchez at the Esperanza, Gloria at the Esperanza. I mean, and the Esperanza brought everybody. Sandra, Ana Castillo, Sherry Moraga, Gloria Anzaldúa. I mean, everyone that you can imagine. Angela Davis, I could go on for days, the authors of the Esperanza. But right away, the Esperanza, I have to say them again, because they would say, Anel, you're a gay writer. This gay writer's coming into town. Don't forget to come. You know, that's the power of the community. So yeah, I love to mention names. I'm Norma Cantu. I mean, God, I could go for days.
And,
so
and
many
you've done this
people.
In your art, too, where you're kind of paying it forward, mm-hmm. right? Because you had a recent art exhibition and you included other queer artists to be a part of it. So you're there for each other, it seems.
Yeah, that's it's an ongoing thing. I mean, it's an ancestral thing that I feel lucky to learn through my family, through watching my family gather, through watching people at the Esperanza gather in queer brown spaces. It's just something that I've learned from my teachers, from all the teachers I mentioned. Like, you gather. It's nothing is solitary. You know, I don't even believe the trees do anything alone, right? They do everything together. So that's the way I want to work. That's the way I want to move forward as much as I can. Yeah.
Well, I know we want to, you know, there are people who have this moment of uncertainty. Do you have any words of advice for them that you might be able to share with them to maybe help them through this really difficult part of existence right now?
Oh, gosh. I mean, make art, draw, paint, go outside, pick up an instrument, even if you don't play. I picked up a flute a few years ago just to do something with my breath.
How'd that go?
Great, actually.
Really?
It's in my car. I still
Fantastic.
Play it. Yeah, it was another artist. I did a retreat and she gave me her flute. She's like, play it. I'm like, girl, I don't do that. She's like, oh, everybody does. You can breathe, can't you? I'm like, okay, I can breathe. But I still do play the flute now. I do it just like on my own. It's a Native American flute and I love it. But for folks, you know, out there, young people, find your friends, reach out. Don't let social media make you feel like you're disconnected, too. I think social media has this really beautiful power of connecting us. And then I think also kind of puts like this glass kind of like a screen. Well, it's a literal screen. So you kind of are blocked from that person emotionally right. in a way, right? Or spiritually or something, that energy. Get in front of people. Call your friends or message them and do whatever, however you get in touch with people these days and find them at the park. Go for a coffee. Go for a walk. You got to be around people. I think that's, you know, the isolation piece for me is like telling people. That's what's happening to me is that I want to isolate. I'm starting to do that more. I'm like, no, keep going out. Keep calling people. Force yourself to do that. So that's my advice. And books. God, we have so many queer writers in town. Violeta Garza, Jonathan Fletcher, Johnny Villa, Gume Laurel, Barbie. There's just so many great artists, Chibi, writers, all these great spaces in San Antonio, Gemini Inc. Go to them. Be a community member. Be a volunteer. They will make you family. Be a volunteer somewhere and pick up who your family is. You know, that's always my advice.
Well, Anel, anything that you'd like to add to our conversation? Anything I haven't talked to you about yet?
Oh, thank you. Just thank you. And, you know, one thing I want to remember and always bring up is that I just want to say, like, love our South Texas land, love Mexico, our border, our people, our community. And just to say, you know, the violence needs to stop. Love needs to grow. I hope this book loves many of us and shows and really expresses how much kindness, how much community, how much joy, and how much work is happening in this book, in our communities, in our streets, and here on TPR and everywhere. So I want to highlight that and just really highlight hope. Right now, at this time.
Anel Flores, yeah. A pleasure to have you
Thank
here.
You.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Anel Flores is an author, artist, and activist based in San Antonio. Flores is the author of the new novel, Curtains of Rain, and of Empanada, a lesbiana story in Probaditas. Curtains of Rain is the recipient of the 2026 Knox Texas Focal Book Award for Fiction, a recognition by the National Association for Chicana and Chicano Studies. The award honors exceptional works of fiction that illuminate the Chicanx experience. Hear Anel read the opening pages of Curtains of Rain at tpr.org. Fronteras editors are Dan Katz and Yvette Benavides. Charanga Cakewalk composed our theme music. Hear past episodes at tpr.org and on the Fronteras podcast. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. Thanks for listening.